This is the Quality News Network. Two top White House aides were found in contempt by the Senate Judiciary Committee, which voted to send citations to the full Senate concerning White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and former Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove. Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy accused the White House of stonewalling and providing information over the dismissal of several U.S. attorneys. President Bush has claimed executive privilege in protecting his aides from testifying and in refusal to provide documents. With the stroke of a pen, the European Union became stronger today, EU leaders signing a historic treaty in Lisbon that creates a new constitution and a new president. Former Vice President Al Gore says the United States is the main bloc to launching negotiations in Bali concerning a new global climate treaty. A pact to succeed the Kyoto Protocol is at stake. Earlier in the day, the European Union accused the U.S. and China of stalling, threatened to boycott a U.S.-hosted climate meeting set for next month. In a day of reckoning for the world of Major League Baseball, some of the league's brightest stars are named in the Mitchell Report on illegal steroid use. More than 50 players are identified, including veteran star pitcher Roger Clemens and newly indicted Barry Bonds. Compiled by former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, he was hired by Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig, and Mitchell recommends that no player be punished because of the report. Selig, though, says he will deal with each outed player on a case-by-case basis. Congress will hold hearings on steroids use in Major League Baseball set for the 23rd of next month. A mistrial has been declared in Miami, Florida, in the case of seven defendants charged with attempting to blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago. The jury cleared one defendant, but was unable to reach a verdict on the other six. Prosecutors say they'll possibly try the suspects, known as the Liberty City Seven, again next year. Democratic presidential candidates debated for the last time on the same stage before the Iowa caucus on January 3rd. Rival candidates called for an end to the Iraq War and for higher taxes on the wealthiest Americans. An ice storm that battered the Midwest is now headed for the northeastern coast, with up to a foot of snow expected. 33 deaths have been blamed on the winter system. In the Caribbean, heavy rain from Tropical Storm Olga flooded villages and led to 8 deaths, 7 of them in the Dominican Republic. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, "We must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light." This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Hollywood writers won't be back to work until at least the first of next year, as directors put a hold on contract negotiations until after New Year's. The Directors Guild of America is blaming union officials and the Writers Guild of America for last week's collapse of contract talks. The strike began on November 5th. Shareholders of the Dow Jones & Company gave approval for its sale to media mogul Rupert Murdoch for $5 billion, the deal set to close today in New York City. JetBlue announced that Lufthansa has agreed to take a 19% equity stake and gain a seat on the company board. It is the first significant investment by a European carrier and a U.S. domestic airline. November wholesale prices soared, the biggest monthly leap in 34 years. Analysts blamed gas prices. Inflation was higher than was originally anticipated. In London, an auction at Sotheby's raised nearly $4 million. That's for a handwritten and illustrated Harry Potter manuscript by author J.K. Rowling. Light sweet crude oil trading at $92.25 a barrel, gold at $804 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 44 points to end at 13,517, the NASDAQ down nearly 2.5 points, the S&P 500 up nearly 2. And there's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to
11. 11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, hey! How's everybody doing out there? It's a Thursday night. Welcome to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and hopefully all is groovy here. I was having some weirdnesses or weird feelings of doom on the way in, but being that it's a Thursday evening, you know that means Mr. Billy Shears. Ah, good. Bob says it's just fine. Excellent. Wish I could say as much over here, Bob. Can you do something about my monitoring? But anyway, folks, it's a Thursday, so that means Mr. Billy Shears. And he's got something Christmas in Fallujah, and I've been so busy I didn't even have a chance to preview this, so you know as much as I do. Very strange. My headphones have gone dead. This is very strange. I feel like I'm working in a vacuum. How bizarre. And it's on my end. How very strange. I feel like I'm in a vacuum. It's bizarre. But anyway. I know I have important stuff in here. Bob's like, I'm glad to know, but it's not my fault. So there's been the International Climate Conference going on. And, you know, Kevin Rudd spoke in front of the body, and you know, got kind of his hero's welcome, and it's, they're trying to make out that it's a little short-lived because there's some not quite seeing eye to eye on some timetable stuff, and I don't know if Kevin Rudd's just playing Mr. Overcautious his first, you know, couple weeks out there in the limelight and holding back on. See, here's the deal. Kevin Rudd has gone to the climate conference and, you know, set himself up a full plate, you know, saying, I'm going to be the bridge between China and the rest of the world on the issue of, you know, greenhouse gas emissions. Get everybody at the table. Because I speak Mandarin. But, it looks like here in Bali, they were really looking at trying to actually get a target set this time round. And it makes the next round in the process, which is the large economies meeting. Without a target in this one, some are saying that there's no sense in having the economics end of it. We shouldn't even bother, you know, getting together for that because we don't have what we need to run that. So Rudd's just said, I'm just holding off on the targets thing until after there's a particular study that comes out this May, I think it is. Can't remember the name of it in the moment, but, you know, it's going to be the most up-to-date kind of forecasting of what kind of reduction targets we need. And he says, you know, I get that. We're going to go with those numbers because those will be the most up-to-date numbers. And I'm hoping that he'll stick to that. If he kind of starts arm-lengthing himself from getting into setting real targets for Australia, I think he's going to lose the momentum that he's got. But I don't know. Time will only tell. So he's gone in a hero and coming out the other side that he may, you know, after all the kind of rhetoric of the U.S. needs to take responsibility for its part in the damage already done and get with the rest of the world program. He then sides with the U.S. on holding off just a little longer on real targets. So it's kind of disappointing, but I mean, the guy only got sworn in 2 weeks ago. There's a history here with, I believe it was Whitlam. Some people have described Whitlam to me as the reason why he got tossed was because he had all the right ideas. He just tried to do them all at once. And I think, you know, Kevin's a pretty smart guy, and he's not going to fall into set himself to be on someone else's previous, you know, preordained path to failure or whatever. So, but anyway, in the process of all this, so you got all these, you got all the, virtually most, you know, most of the world is having a talk right now on the planet. It's actually happening right now. They're talking about the importance of climate change and the fact that their governments at home have to start doing the right thing, set enforce policies that make real changes, or else we're not, as governments, living up to, you know, the part of the job description where, you know, science is telling us that this is what's going to happen if we don't do something different, and if we don't walk away with some sort of plan, we've failed kind of thing, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they're actually having this discussion, getting ready for what the next stage of things will be. And so Gore, of course, comes out swinging. And maybe we'll save that till a little bit later. Because I want to try and fix my headphones, dang it. So I'm going to talk about, you know, Gore kind of went spit, spit, spit. And then, you know, Perino had to get back up and go spit, 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 spit. No, but you said. And, you know, it's all a little bit kind of childish, as we know the games in the White House normally are. So, stick around, folks. Coming up after the break, we have Billy Shear's music, Christmas in Fallujah. Can't wait to hear this. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Are you fed up with the Democrats and Republicans? Tired of the catfighting between the left and the right? You'll want to listen to America Back on Track. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network is a true alternative, a new national radio voice for people who put America before political party and special money interests. America Back on Track is for people who want to restore the values that made our country great. Quality, integrity, purpose, compassion, humility, and strength. America Back on Track delivers the news and perspective, engaging listeners with intelligent interviews and stimulating commentary. Wouldn't you rather hear smart people talking about new directions instead of ideologues pushing their propaganda? Tune in to America Back on Track weekdays at noon Pacific right here or online at thequalitynewsnetwork.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Billy Joel has released a new anti-war song titled Christmas in Fallujah, but you won't hear his vocals. At 58, Joel felt he was too old to sing the song. Christmas in Fallujah was inspired by letters received from soldiers in Iraq. He composed a song and has the 21-year-old singer Cass Dillon from Long Island perform the vocals. Joel says, and I quote, "I thought it should be somebody young, about a soldier's age." He goes on to say, "I wanted to help somebody else's career. I've had plenty of airplay, and I've had my time in the sun." Now, the net proceeds to Christmas in Fallujah will be donated to Homes for Our Troops, which builds homes for severely wounded veterans of Iraq. Now, I'll read the lyrics and then play Christmas in Fallujah. It's evening in the desert. I'm tired and I'm cold. But I am just a soldier. I do what I'm told. We came with the Crusaders to save the Holy Land. It's Christmas in Fallujah, and no one gives a damn. And I just got your letter, and this is what I read. You said, "I'm fading from your memory, so I'm just as good as dead." We are the armies of the Empire. We are legionnaires of Rome. It's Christmas in Fallujah, and we ain't never coming home. We came to bring the people freedom. We came to fight the infidel. There's no justice in the desert, because there's no God in hell. They say Osama's in the mountains, deep in a cave in Pakistan. But there's a sea of blood in Baghdad, a sea of oil in the sand. Between the Tigris and Euphrates, another day comes to an end. It's Christmas in Fallujah, peace on earth and goodwill to men. It's Christmas in Fallujah. Hallelujah.
It's evening in the desert. I'm tired and I'm cold, but I am just a soldier. I do what I am told. We came with the crusade.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Right on! Wow! Now, usually I... Thanks, Billy. That was really cool. Usually I get to preview these segments, but I've been so busy and I didn't get to hear that. So, like, you know, the connection between here and the studio is cool and all, but, you know, it can sometimes leave something to be desired. Wow, if that sounds anything like what that just gave me a hint of. And I'm not surprised at all that that's Billy's band. They've always rocked. A Billy Joel show is a rock and roll show. There's, you know, there's very little nice Mr. Piano Man in it. at least from my experiences. But no, just sounds huge. And I'm listening to it. I'm sitting there thinking, wow, you know, I'm getting flashbacks of Midnight Oil at the Arias last year when they got their Hall of Fame award or whatever. And guitar player, somebody says, you know, where's today's bitch music? Now, there's a good piece of it. And really, you know, Billy ain't stupid. That was a very, very smart move getting that young guy to sing it. And great performance from what I can hear there. But production value-wise, I got to hear the original of that. That's just nuts. That sounded huge. I wonder if Billy knows who actually produced that track. I'm just kind of curious. There was a very wall of sound to it that was impressive. It's not easy to get that without it sounding like crap. Oh, anyway, but no, great lyric. Big rock song, cool. Anyway, so I was talking before about this whole climate conference thing and how, you know, I think that this is, now that Kevin Rudd has signed on to Kyoto, going to become more and more of a thorn in George Bush's side. And, you know, leave it to, you know, good old Al, not going to miss an opportunity. he says, I'm going to speak an inconvenient truth, ha ha ha. My own country, the United States, is principally responsible for obstructing progress here in Bali. And it's, unfortunately, it's the truth. You know, they really want to make, you know, you want to make Bali work. Now it only takes one thing, and that's for the U.S. to sign on. There's nothing else left. Then it becomes a no-brainer. Then we start working, you know, cooperatively to, you know, do all the interlaced and intertwining things that will affect our lives that will need changing, you know. And it's just, and it's not going to be to any loss, but it's, you know, there's going to be some thinking and some, you know, occasional inconvenience. That's if we get off our butts and do something about it now. You know, and so, of course, the White House has come out and, Al Gore's not nice to us. And this could come off horribly sexist, but, you know, after Scotty the Duck and then Cancer Man, the only option that the White House had left as a spokesman was to finally just try and get the pleasant-looking woman to shovel their crap. actually, I'll say this till we get back. Hey, why don't we take the bottom of the hour break here, Bob, and let me reorganize a tad. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. And I'm John Fox, and we'll see you straight after this.
It seems like only yesterday I gazed through the glass. Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. So I watched the Republican debate, the last one before the Iowa caucuses, but the first one I forced myself to see, and I gotta say I wasn't impressed. There was Alan Keyes back from the dead and acting unhinged, and there was crazed Tancredo saying the first thing he'd do in office would be to free Ignacio Ramos and Jose Campion, two agents who were convicted of covering up the shooting of a Mexican drug smuggler. McCain seemed sedated and exhausted. Romney was Mr. Smooth with a polished answer to every question, but not a lot inside. He did confess he wasn't lying awake at night, worrying about how the rich were going to pay their taxes, though, which brought Fred Thompson in a rare moment of levity to say he wished he was in Romney's bracket and didn't have to worry. But since when is Fred Thompson scrimping to make ends meet? As for Mike Huckabee, I don't know what all the commotion's about. He certainly didn't sparkle. All that he offered was some vacuous statements about the need to rise above partisanship, which is a fantasy. Only Ron Paul offered some real alternatives, denouncing the United States as an empire, decrying the fact that we have troops in more than 130 countries, and bravely saying that we should bring the Navy back from the Persian Gulf, since Iran is not a threat. Why Ron Paul's a Republican at this late date was the only puzzle of the debate, which the Democrats won by default. I'm Matt Rothschild. And that's how I see it.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here. Nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Somebody's trying to make me stay, you know I've got to be moving on.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknight, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Cool. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And so, I'm finally going to get to this. So, you know, Al Gore has his little, you know, dummy spit at the United States for, you know, not being part of the talks. And rightfully so, perfect media opportunity, you got to take them when you get them. And the White House has slapped back at Nobel laureate Al Gore, saying he was wrong to call the United States the obstacle to success at the Bali Climate Change Conference.
I think he's incorrect, spokeswoman Dana Perino said overnight of Mr. Gore. You know, I think he's incorrect.
Yeah, I don't care what you think. What's the reality? You know, why does he hate America?
That was the next thing he expected to hear. And I mean, come on, you're in an unwinnable situation. The world's gotten together. They're going, okay, we got this thing. Let's talk. We got the really bad polluters here. We got the young bad polluters here. And we got, you know, the rest of you over here. Where's the big crapper of them all? Oh, he's still off over there. And, you know, saying that the process can't be a success, well, you're dooming it to failure by not taking part. And so I'm a little with Kevin Rudd at the moment for kind of not going diving in, you know, all four limbs, the water's fine, into targets. But I got this bit of wiggle room for me, you know, as long as he sticks to what he's saying right now. But it's going to take a couple of months, and, you know, I just don't think he's the kind of guy that's going to, second week in office, go signing something that huge before he has even sat Parliament. I think that there's something, I think just a bit, I don't know, having respect for, you know, the mission of oversight and government, which he also says that he's taking a huge swipe at. So I don't know, we'll see. But then, you know, the United States, really, you got no reason to be holding back now. Everyone else is in the pool, you see, and it's time to join the rest of the world and stop being an impediment to progress and sign on. Yeah, it's not perfect, but that's what the talks are for. And it'll be a whole lot better with the United States involved. I mean, you know, you only have to look at the wonderful long-term planning that the German government's put into their infrastructure. And it looks as though it's easily sustainable with a little bit of extra sacrifice on the people's part. But they're cool with it. And that's the important thing to remember, is that there's a little bit of, almost used a turn of phrase that I wouldn't want to use here, but there's a bit of conscious realization that certain things are going to have to change, but there's nothing wrong with that change. The sky is not going to fall in, and I've been seeing in the blogs over here, as when the subject gets raised, the naysayers come in and, you know, the world is flat, it's all cyclical, it's solar flares, it's you can go down like the half a dozen or nine or so usual paths that, you know, get ground down to the knees in no time. And it's gotten really ugly. I've seen on a couple of particular blogs over here that because it's becoming much more of a real topic, the political knives are coming out, and it's been getting nasty, shall we say. But I don't see how the United States can stay on the outside looking in for much longer. You know, now that it's everybody but the United States, they will design a carbon cap and trade system. And what we could see in time are heavier tariffs on exports from countries that aren't part of Kyoto by Kyoto nations. It's something that's been discussed. So if the United States doesn't get with the program to cover their dirty country's footprint, American goods coming into Australia will get whacked with a super high tariff. There's been some of this already happened in Europe, which I thought was an interesting way of kind of leveraging folks into doing the right thing. So, you know, but it's really time to just get with the conversation. Really, it's a whole lot easier than spending all that time and money and hot air and stress and, you know, whatever, trying to maintain that, you know, counter garbage. Use that energy to fix the problem. I don't think it, you know, I really don't think it should be that hard. or am I just, am I insane? Am I just completely off my rocker? Well, and, you know, ELO mentions, you know, it's got to hit him in the wallet. Well, yeah, there's that. But, however, unfortunately, with a lot of, you know, the really, really big guys, they never will get hit in the wallet by it. It will always get passed off to those who buy their services. So they'll just continue to make profit off of keeping the machine running. You know what I mean? This is something that a conscious effort has to be made, you know, a real decision that you're going to invest. I mean, and it's not that much money. In the long run, it's not that much money. I mean, the Stern report was really clear about it. About 1%, a little bit more, I guess, of any nation's GDP. Now will be worth thousands in the damage undone. But if we wait, the cost is going to be huge. And, you know, there can no longer be the silly straw man argument of going, oh, bad for the environment, but we got to protect jobs. Well, you know what? When crop levels drop 73% over two decades, are you then going to actually finally make it work in your brain that the environment is the economy, stupid? You know, I mean, I you still hear these arguments go back and forth, and, you know, it's like it's not either or, damn it. It's just what is. So make a bunch now, or make a little less now, and keep making later. Because if you make the bunch now and keep making that bunch now all the time, you're suddenly not going to be making anything anymore. Because we as a human race, you as your hoarding, you know, corporate self and all your underlings and your customers and those that you feed off of will be gone too. All over the shop tonight. All over the shop. All right, we're going to take another break, folks. You listen to Fox Stuff here on the Head On Radio Network, and I don't know, we've got more stuff, so stick around. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. We'll be right back.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he
wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his hat. And Davy Crockett rides around and says, it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any courses like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. Now, he's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here, on the Horn, Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play as time goes by.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. The Cars. I still reckon, you know, in a time when rock bands were kind of lacking, those guys actually were, I still think, a really underrated band as far as being just a good rock and roll band. And that Southpaw guitar player is actually a monster. Anyway. So, for those doubting, you know, it's all cyclical, it's all this, it's all that, it's all the other thing, and it's not, it couldn't be us, people. A new study has now deemed that nothing will save the Great Barrier Reef. That's right, it's gonna die. It's gone. It's too late. From news.com, it says it's probably too late to save the Great Barrier Reef and other coral reefs from global warming, so that it's not just the Great Barrier Reef. Even if governments implement far-reaching measures to cut greenhouse gas emissions, they will not prevent the annihilation of coral reefs around the world. These are the conclusions of analysis by leading marine scientists to be published today in the prestigious journal Science. There's a terrible future in front of us for the reef, said Canada-based United Nations University professor Peter Sale, one of 17 authors from seven nations of the Science paper. So there you go. Gone. Bye-bye. Gone. How old is the reef, Bob? Oh, geez. I was just actually reading about that in Flannery's book the other day. It's hundreds of thousands of years old, to take a guess. And it's been decimated in all of about 30 years. So, you know, when people think that it's slow, now, again, there's huge economies that are now going to be affected by this. You know, there are areas in Australia and I believe off South America that they're remote beach resort areas and their only trade is tourism because of the corals. So no reefs. There goes millions, possibly billions in income. So those people are screwed. But nah, it's not happening. Oh, it's so slow, we'll never see it. It's happening as we speak. You know, the it's no more, you know, looking for signs. The signs are all there. You know, we've been having just terrific rain the last couple of weeks. And someone will say, see, global warming, see, the drought's going to be over. Okay. You have to kind of step back just a little bit. You know, you got this El Nino and La Nina weather patterns that happen. Well, it used to be that kind of over a 10-year period, you'd have kind of even odds, basically, you know, 5 and 5. So, you know, the cycles would kind of even out. But see, recently we had, I think it was 6 El Niños in a row without a La Niña. And we're having our first La Niña in all that time. So there are still cycles within the system. But you have to look at what's happening to them over a short period of time and the changes in them. So we might get really wet for the next 2 years. Watch, we'll get 2 in a row. And after that, it's going to be another huge burnout. And because there's been 2 years of young regrowth, the next burnout's going to be worse than the one that we're going to have this year. There's an Australian island that's practically just ablaze at the moment. But because it's a couple of, you know, little communities and some, you know, vacation villages and things like that, you know, we don't hear much about it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it gets about 10 seconds on the morning news and that's it. But basically an entire island is just kind of like on fire at the moment. So, you know, I expect this year us to see really good rain. Above average rain. But I expect it only to last 1 or 2 seasons. And then we're going to go right back into this thing, which is all affected by currents which have changed, wind patterns that have changed, weather patterns that have changed. And so, you know, if we turned around tomorrow and shut down every, you know, coal-fired power plant on the planet, we wouldn't see any changes for a decade, maybe. So, you know, it's kind of, we are at a point where the action needs to be immediate because the benefits aren't going to be seen for quite a while. And we got to start doing the hard yards now. And boy, way to end the week, John. But it sucks, really. You know, it's kind of like you have to kind of give a moment of mourning as another signpost on the environmental footpath goes down. Yeah, the greenhouse gas is reacting to Nanette in the chat room saying, you know, probably take longer than 10 years. Yeah, it would, but a lot of this, a lot of the discussions and papers that I've read said that if there was a drastic change, you know, in output in, say, a single year, the average is saying somewhere, you know, five, more like 10 years, that you'd actually be able to tell, test, and tell the difference in the atmosphere. And you might actually notice a slowing of the accelerant behind the entire kind of runaway train that we're on. But you'll worry before, you know, because, you know, carbon has, you know, an environmental life of something like, I think it's 10 years. So, you know, a molecule of carbon that you've, or an atom you've thrown out there, is still out there for 10 years before it is absorbed. So, you know, it's a slow enough curve that if we see that there are better ways to do it, I think we can kind of just easily adapt as we go. But we got to start doing it like yesterday. So, again, you know, the United States just really needs to pull its head out of its butt. And get with the discussion, because there's a whole new economy out there. And the one thing that the United States could really use right now is a new source of economy. Right? There's nothing growing at the moment. So why not invest and get involved with the rest of the world in this technology and be part of a new growth industry? Might just save the United States, you know, financial hide, because it's not looking real good. Central banks seem to be in a bit of a panic at the moment. They're doing all kinds of little shifting around. And there seems to be an air of the banks trying to be more transparent, and I'll get into that in a future show. It's something I need to check out, but that's kind of what they've been professing. And so is it completely the opposite and they're just pulling the wool over our eyes? I'll have to check into that. But anyway, that's it. Thanks to Bob for producing. Thanks to Billy Shears for the Shears music segment as normal. We'll have another one next week. Thanks to you guys for tuning in. Thanks to our mods and our bloggers and Bruce Birch at our Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the archives and the streaming. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics,
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. Some of the baseball's biggest superstars are named in today's Mitchell Report on Major League Drug Use. More than 50 players are identified, including pitcher Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, and Barry Bonds. The Mitchell Report took 20 months to complete. It was compiled by former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell. He was hired by Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig. Mitchell recommends that no punishment be given players. Democratic presidential candidates debated for the last time on the same stage before the Iowa